Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men.
Amen.
Now, I did that pretty well.
That was pretty good.
I'm kind of just sitting there just going, I think I remembered it without a flaw, considering all the things that just took place prior to getting on the air. It's all good.
To the distraction of CJ.
No distraction. You're not a distraction, brother. You know?
I'm a thorn in the side.
You might be a thorn in the side, but you're not a distraction because his grace is sufficient.
Amen.
And so it's good to be here with you today. Hey, we got a topic today that we're going to be talking about the evidence of walking with God as a man.
Yeah.
You know, what it looks like and what it doesn't look like.
Mm.
Okay? Yeah. We're going to kind of call it a little bit, you know, and it's not so much a word in judgment, but because we ourselves have fallen into the trap that the enemy has of listening and paying attention to what the enemy has.
Well, it's good to examine ourselves over it all the time as well, so.
And it's even better to have somebody else let us know when we ask them.
Amen.
Say, hey, you know, that would be a confidant, a mentor, a trusted friend, someone that is not trying to belittle you, but just trying to help you. And by asking them, do you see anything in my life that doesn't seem to correlate or go along
with the fruit of the Spirit?
With what I'm talking about most of the time? You know, these are challenges that guys don't necessarily, that some of you guys do it really well. Some guys do that really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And some guys have no idea what that is all about and don't want to know. And right now they're going, okay, I don't want to hear this.
Click. Wanting to know is because they don't want to examine their self because they realize the sin that's going on.
Well, let's not talk about the whole thing right now.
All right.
We'll just see. I know when to.
All right, encouragement.
On this one.
Yeah.
So encouragement.
Yeah, encouragement. Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good for those who love him. So, in the middle of all your distresses or no matter what's going on that you have screwed up in the past on your own, that through your sin, like myself, what we tend to do before we find Christ and we still do afterwards, but just much more so before, is that we got to trust that all those things that we have done will eventually work together for the good if we love him.
Yes.
And that's the key part right there is if we love him, if we adore him. So we got to get to that point where we are seeking him with everything that we have so that we can adore him, so that the things that we have screwed up on, the stupid things that we have done, do work together for the good for ourselves and our families and everyone in him. So
you're going to have to explain here just a minute. The encouragement, I like the encouragement. That's great. But you used a word there three times.
Oh.
The same word.
I don't know what that is.
It was adore.
Oh, yes.
So
mm-hmm.
Majority of men, and even think about your own life.
Yeah.
We'll go even back, I don't know, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have said, you even used that word in a statement?
With myself. I would have said you're right, I wouldn't have said adore, but the reality was I adored myself is how it really, and I wouldn't have used the word, but through God's grace of being born again, having a new heart, he gives you new desires, you seek new things, and so in the process of that, you do start to learn. You learn what adoring means, what it means for you to do, and then you work on the adoring part of God. So,
right.
So it's hard to love him if you don't know him. So it's hard to adore him if you don't know him. So you got to get in his word.
So So what you're really saying, in a sense, is that if we are called by God,
mm-hmm.
okay, he's going to communicate with us.
Amen.
And if you question whether you're called by God, I will tell you this. If you are listening to this program, you've been called by God.
Amen.
He's Amen. Got your attention. You yep. would not be listening otherwise. And Amen. Whether you don't want to listen or not, the point is that sometimes in our heads we want to say, no. That's for those kind of guys, those guys, yeah. you know, the pastors, the ministry leaders.
The so-called people, righteous.
The righteous yeah. people. Mm-hmm. That's them. They're called. I'm not called because I'm still a sinner.
Yeah. Well, good thing God came for, Jesus came for the sinner. So the more of the sinner you are, praise God even more.
Yes.
So,
yes. And that's what this whole thing is all about. So that's why Amen. We do what we do. So good mm-hmm. encouragement, man. So continue seeking God and he will reveal his purpose for you in your life.
Amen.
It may not be exactly the way you want it to be.
Most of the time it isn't.
It isn't. It has yeah. anything to do. Because, you know what? We put our God in a box. We yeah. put him in a box.
We sure
thinking
do.
That he's... this is what he's thinking. This is what he's doing. Like, we got to figure it out.
And this is what he's capable of as well. Yeah, we do that. Yep.
Yeah. So. And the word tells us, reminds us that, hey, first and foremost, our thoughts are not his thoughts. His Amen. Are much higher.
His know? Ways are not our ways.
His ways are not our ways. They are much better.
The problem yeah. is we throw that all out the window when we want what we want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways. All
okay.
right.
Well, there you go. There's yeah. your encouragement for the morning from CJ. Okay. We got a topic, and you know, and part of this. How did we come up with this topic? What made
the
you
evidence?
Think about,
it was just stirred in me. A lot of part is with the wrath. Let me just read it. This is where a lot of it comes from. It's Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which
Wait
are.
A minute, I'm trying to get to Galatians.
I got. The New King James Version. So this is.
That's all right.
I think you got NIV.
Well, this Bible is NIV. I have ESV right there on that one too.
Oh.
Anyway, so fire away.
All right, here we go. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So a lot of times we make, how I came to this is, as men, we usually have outbursts of wrath or temper. We have that fire in us. And if you notice, the outbursts of wrath is mentioned with murders and drunkards and fornicators. And so those people don't inherit the kingdom. If you have a bad temper, a bad rage, bad anger, and you're not getting control of it. I mean, if you shoot off the handle all the time, you're in there with the murderers. Okay, so that is an evidence that you're not walking with Christ. So this is what got me, because a lot of times we pay attention to the murders and we use it as like a checklist almost. Well, I don't murder, I don't fornicate, I'm not an adulterer, I really not very selfish. But then we get to our temper, our anger, and we justify it. Well, they did wrong, so I was right to get angry at them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so mm-hmm. we don't realize that having a temper is a big evidence of the work of the flesh in your life. And so right. this is how we came about this, but it just moved in me about the wrath and the temper and the anger, especially with men, because a lot of times we justify it when we do have it. So
a lot of times I'll speak for myself, at one time in my walk with Christ, it was more apparent to me that I did more of this than I ever have before. That is to be one way in front of certain people.
Oh, yeah.
And then being a different way with mm-hmm. with other people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I want those who I want them to be perceiving me a certain way. Oh, yeah. He is. Look at what
Well, you put the righteous cape
fellow.
On in
yes.
front of the righteous,
yes.
and you put yourself back on when you're around others.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And still, and yet, that comes to being seen or experienced from others. They notice it in my talk.
Mm.
Okay. Now, we're talking about when I'm trying to be, not necessarily wanting to be in the worldly
mm-hmm.
sense, I desire to be more of
Christ-like.
Mm-hmm. And yet there's a part of me at times when I have anger or disappointment mm-hmm. or just challenges in my life that I have no patience.
Patience and anger go hand in hand. I mean, like,
you know. Yes, all of this is going to go hand in hand, right? But what ends up taking place is that all of a sudden I find myself airing out or at the time in using foul language.
Mm. Expressing yourself.
Yeah, when I wouldn't necessarily use it otherwise. Mm-hmm. Or talking about other people and circumstances. If they wouldn't be this way, rather than looking at myself.
Well, it goes back to justifying what we're able to do or our actions of what it is. I did years ago, three or four years ago before I started walking with Christ, I would always justify my wrath and my anger with my kids, and she wasn't my wife then, but with Felicia, because they did wrong, and so I justified flying off the handle, and I mean, I put a couple holes in the door and the wall just because of my anger, and it took a hold of me. I mean, I didn't even, it's like just turned red. I just didn't see anything. And then all of a sudden you calm down and you're like, man. But then that's when you justify. You're like, mm-hmm. well, you know, she did this, or my boys aren't listening. So I really had to show them that I knew I was serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's something about those doors that are made out of veneer, very, very thin, that your fist can go through it pretty good. It's not a solid door, just to let you know.
Just on a funny note, when I was a kid, my dad really ticked me off, so I went upstairs and I punched the wall and I hit a stud and I broke my ankle, my knuckle. And that isn't even the funny part. The funny part is I came downstairs kind of whimpering. I was like, Dad, I think I broke my hand. He's like, I don't know what to tell you. Don't punch the wall next time. And so I had to go to school. My hand's all swollen, and I was writing with my left hand, and he waited like 2 days, 3 days before he took me in there. So that was my lesson. I don't think I punched the wall after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. For 20 years.
All you have to do is know where the studs are, man.
Yeah, when you're 10, or well, I must have been like 12 or 13, you don't think about that kind of stuff.
Right,
you just
whack.
And yeah, it didn't budge. But anyways, yeah.
But really, it comes down to, in a certain sense, of being able to be a man of God is to be that way everywhere you're at.
All the time. Well, I think was a week or two ago we talked about walking the walk. You got to do it in all circumstances. You can't just put the front on when you want people to look. And the same goes if when you're around your friends. You want to be cool. You want to still be with your friends. You still want to be in the world. But you don't want to show them that you're a Bible thumper because you don't want them to say something about you or to make fun of you or to tease you. So what it is a fear of man. A lot of it is what stops us from sticking up for what we believe in and not being true to God is what it comes down to.
You know, we try to end up putting that round peg into that square hole, or the square peg into a round hole, whatever,
sure do.
Okay? And it just doesn't fit, and we try to make it work, okay? And we try to make our lives be able to do that, because we want our comfort, we want our pleasure, we want the things that are going to
satisfy
us. Yeah, exactly. Is. And so that's why it's challenging sometimes. You sit there and you go, you end up going to a service on a weekend, and then you end up going maybe to a Bible study or a small group thing, and then when you have an opportunity, you'll go watch those R-rated movies that are showing all sorts of things that aren't necessarily
God-like.
Yeah, exactly. In other words, they put everything in question. It's like, why are you even here watching this, you know?
And then you just continue to push it down and hold your conscience so you don't have to deal with it and face God.
Right.
Yeah.
Until somebody sees you walk out of the theater and says, oh, what are you doing? 50 Shades of Grey? Why are you watching that?
I heard you talking.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Didn't mean to do the
squirrel
thing with you. But the fact is that what it comes down to is that, okay, so what's the deal here? What is it with guys that we have a tendency of wanting to the best of both worlds, okay? And we try that over and over again for the purpose of being able to be satisfied. I got my piece of the pie, so to speak. I want both these things.
Well, I know with my own self, even when I was, we just had our wedding, the reception, I should say, a few months ago, and my groomsmen, now granted, I had, I'm trying to think, I had like one groomsman that was God-fearing, but the rest were heathens for the most part. I say that laughingly. I hope they're listening so they can laugh. But I mean they were trying to get me to like go up to Canada, go to a strip club, do all. I'm like, guys, I'm like, what are you doing? You know that I'm not. And it was so funny. One of them was like, all right, man. He's like, I just want to make sure you just, you know, you didn't want. Or that you were going to have a good time and you're going to enjoy yourself. And he put it back on me when I kind of rebuked him in a sense. He's like, yeah. All right, well, I just want to make sure that you're happy and you are okay with, you know, just, you know, we went paintballing. He's like, I just want to make sure you have a good day. I was like, bull. He just wanted to go up there and do it. Anyways, but the point is 4 years ago, I probably would have went because I wouldn't want to disappoint them because I wouldn't want them to look at me in
bull,
a different
you just
way.
Wanted to go. You just call it on him.
Well,
I just call it on you.
I'm not going to say no to that, but I also know that I would say yes because I had a fear of them. I don't want to say it was more of people pleasing. It was a fear of them like rejecting what I thought or what I was trying to do. And so yes, I would have wanted to go 4 years ago, but it also was the fact that I didn't want my friends to view me any differently because I still wanted to be friends with them, except for the fact that when you become new in Christ, you got to put away things sometimes. That means put away your friends if they're in the world. That doesn't mean that you say I can't talk to you, you're of the devil. That's not what you say, but the thing is you cut back the time that you spend with them, and the time that you do spend with them, you need to be a example of a child of God. So that's just on that area of the people pleasing thing.
Wow. So you actually end up realizing in your own life, like we all have at one time or another, that we, what comes out of our mouth and what we say that we are, we need to really follow that. In other words, if I am saying that, you know what, I no longer do that sort of thing, I no longer do that sort of thing.
Yeah, you got to put your foot, okay. You got to.
And the verses that you used here in Galatians to talk about, this is intent. This is conscious sin. This is stuff where you actually are saying, you know, I am going to be this way.
Premeditating.
And we can still be premeditated even though we're a follower of Jesus. We can say, you know, this is a secret sin. Mm. It's the stuff that's going on behind. And then all of a sudden when we're angry or something, has nothing to do with anything, it comes out. Mm-hmm. And someone, and you sit there and you go, and you're with a brother who is, you know, a follower
who's walked in
Christ.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, something comes out of your mouth, and you go, oh, sorry about that. I'm just really rattled on this sort of thing. Well, you know, the fact is that
something might be going on. You know, a lot of times it is going on.
Yeah, it usually has a little bit more to do. It's like a thermometer. You stick your mouth, all of a sudden you notice that you got 102 temperature. Wow, that's a lot different than what
it
you
is.
Portray.
Now, I know with myself, I was in the construction industry for a long time, and the language there is insane. And actually, I'm a little bit on the construction site a little bit now, helping my dad out. And I think a normal word out there is very uncommon, like the, because that's just an example. But every word is F-bomb. I mean, it's just that's just how it is. So even going back out there, when I first started going back there, I was praying. I still do that the Lord stops the evil from entering me and so that I don't get caught up into it and have it come out. Cause it's very easy to get back into it and just to say, now by the grace of God, he's blessed my mouth and I haven't said anything, but every day I gotta ask him to protect my mouth and my mind so I don't get caught up back up into that area. Cause my mouth, it took me 2 years to put a handle on my mouth and not being able to slip up all the time with stuff coming out. So it took a long time for that to happen. But a lot of it was because I still had secret sin, as you were saying, in my life, and I still wasn't walking with Christ. And so it was coming out, even though I was I was doing better with my tongue or whatever. But when you're in the middle of sin, God's going to reveal it in different ways. I mean,
right.
not just to you only, but to, as you said, to brothers around you so that they mm-hmm. can see, you know, whoa, what's going on with that? What's going on with you over mm-hmm. here? So eventually, if you are a child of God, God's going to get out in the open one way or the other so yep. that you can be yep. More of his and be assured of your salvation.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, listen, let's take a break. Let's come back and let's talk about this being able to change our ways. How many times do we have to say it over and over again to ourselves to be able to do, to follow Christ? Hmm. What is it that we have to do to be able to make these things change in our lives? What is it? How do we make the change? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
You know the effort I have given. Exactly what it cost. And though my innocence was taken, not everything is lost. Not everything is lost. No. But your love, the only thing that matters is your love.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. CJ and Raul in the studio, and the producer makes CJ laugh.
Yes,
you know, because she's looking at him like.
Well,
know.
She. I don't know if it's she rebukes so nicely sometimes. I don't
rebukes
know.
So nicely.
I don't know if it's if it's that if she's looking at me like a you know quit screwing her off quit you know focus or you know so. yeah,
you're uncomfortable now. I can tell. Okay. Anyway, so here's the deal. We can do nothing. I'm just going to answer the question. We can do nothing to change our lives. If we could, we would have changed them a long time ago.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. We can make a lot of things happen, but we don't make them work. I mean, I could put things together in a pot and say I'm going to make a stew. But because I put things together and it looks kind of like stew, doesn't mean that it's going to be good
yeah.
or the right thing,
mm-hmm.
right? If you don't know what you're doing.
I don't know what I'm doing anyways in that, so.
So when we don't know what we're doing, we might as well go to the manufacturer of mm-hmm.
the
product, the
instruction
right?
book, yep.
Well, the instruction book, the manual. Or go to the
source.
Maker. Right?
Amen.
And just say, hey, you know,
I
need help.
Well, the thing is, sorry not to cut you off, but
no.
Okay.
You don't have to apologize for
it's,
that.
It's true that we can't do anything on our own. We can only do it when God helps us, but we also can't sit aside and say, okay, God, do this and not do anything. Okay, God's going to give us the grace when we step in faith to take the step of getting rid of the challenges in our life. So. If you sit there and you try to do it yourself, if you try to go over this list in Galatians 5 in a religious checklist form, which would be more of a fleshly thing because you're just scared of going to hell. So you're like, okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to fornicate. I've been getting short with my wife, so I better not do that because I don't really feel like going to hell. Okay, if you start making a checklist out of this, it shows that you're not doing it out of love. You're doing it out of fear, which and fear is good. It is very good, but it needs to be for love, too. It needs to be for both. And the thing is what gives you and drives you to motivate you to be Christ-like is the love that he has for you when you realize what he has done for you. So When we have the sin in our life and we try to fix something like our anger, God's not going to give us the grace to do it when we have something in our life that is stopping us from submitting completely to Him. If we want the grace of God upon us to give us the ability to stop having selfish ambitions or dissensions or go through the list, we have to submit completely to God, as you were saying during the break, submit everything in our life, and that means the secret little sin. So if we are secretly watching porn in the middle of the night, you can't expect God to grace you with the ability to watch your tongue.
And a lot of guys would end up saying, hey, why in the world, I'm not going to feel bad about myself, am I, if I end up looking at this stuff? And
it doesn't hurt anyone else.
Yeah, it's not hurting anybody else, but we do feel bad about ourselves. We don't respect ourselves.
Yeah.
We end up thinking, you know what, if people only knew, what would they think? Because I know what I think, that I just, you know, I can't, but I'm just going to do this just for a little longer, and that's it, and I'm it doesn't have control over me. But there, denial goes with an awful lot of this.
Yeah, well, it's in control, you know, when you have to say, I'll just put it off later. Yes. It does have control over you.
The fact is that some of these that it mentions in these verse, in these verse that you mentioned here, okay, I mean, when you talk about idolatry, witchcraft, sexual immorality, we know what those are, okay? I mean, you can actually turn away from that, not put yourself in situations where you're going to be around witchcraft, okay, as an example.
I've never been around it.
All right. Yeah. Well, you don't know that, though, in some cases.
Oh, that's true. I'll give you.
But the simple fact is there are these other ones that are a little more subtle. Jealousy.
Envy.
Hatred.
Mm.
You know, you've got to be willing to take a real good look at yourself.
That comes from the heart,
okay? Because they can be hidden easily enough on a day-to-day basis without thinking anything twice about it. You don't think about how much you're jealous of somebody for what they have until you see them. They're not necessarily top of mind, but when you see them, all of a sudden there's this thing inside that...
Yeah.
It's like somebody put a flame to the gas and it's leaking.
Or when you're talking with someone, their name gets brought up, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, pour out, and then all of a sudden it comes out.
Then you're sitting there, and all of a sudden your demeanor changes and everything. Yeah. Oh, yes, you know, or whatever. You know, these are the things that are making it a little bit more challenging when things are going okay, in a sense. Not okay when you're not mindful of them, I should say.
Well, I think that's one of the I mean, the devil is very, very smart, and if he can shield our sin from us, he's going to do it. I mean, he does that in everyone. So if he can make it seem to us that we don't have the sin in our life, that we can make a checklist, like I'm not doing this or that, then he's winning. And then, unfortunately, when we die, then we stand before God. And, you know, I was just pondering this the other day. I want to stand before God, and the first words out of his mouth are good job, well done. You know, you don't want him to say, well, CJ, that would not be a good thing to start off on. Now, he could say, well, you did this, you come in, but he could also go the other way. That's the thing you don't want to be before God. You don't want him to have that pause, that, well, here, we're going to look at your life. That's not what you want. And when you have these things in your life, that's what's going to happen, because it says right here that you will not inherit the kingdom of God if you have these things in your life. And no one's going to be perfect through it, but the thing is God judges the heart, and if he knows that you're trying with everything that you have, all your heart, to fix this, to be righteous towards him, to love him, then he's going to give you the grace to put these things away, and you're not going to it's not going to come out in the middle of, you know, just with your wife or kids or...
So, but how does the guy know that he's actually, that God is being, is
that's working
pleased
in him?
Yeah. How does God know that?
How does the guy know that God's pleased with him?
Yes.
That he's, I would say when you can examine your life and you look over and you can say, this is how I used to be. So my kids did this and I would fly off and I would do this, this and that. And 6 months later, a year later, you can look, and if the same thing happens and there's not as much as that, I would say God would be working in your life.
Okay, well,
that's an example.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go.
You don't think so, huh?
No, I don't. And I'll tell you why. Because in the flesh, when I start judging myself on how good I'm doing, guess what? I'm always going to lean on the fact that I'm doing better than what everyone else thinks
true.
I am.
That's true.
Okay? Because I judge myself by my intentions, not by my actions necessarily. I have good intent,
Yeah.
How many of us have done that? Oh, I didn't. I really meant to go over to that place and help them out putting up the fence. I didn't know I was going to work for 7 days straight of putting up the fence and a shed and everything else. Okay. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
We judge ourselves by our intent. I'm trying to be God. Yeah, you know what? What it comes down to is that I know what God wants me to do, and I definitely know what he doesn't want me to do. We just stated part of it in Galatians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as a result of that, what I need to do is continually seeking God. God, just please help me to keep from judging me and whether I think I'm doing good enough for you and so on and so forth. Because if I do, guess what? I'm going to get to that place where I'm comfortable right here. I don't need to go
any
further.
That's true.
This is good enough.
Yeah.
No. He says, be perfect because I am perfect. Mm-hmm. Be holy because I am holy.
So,
okay. So when are you going to get to that place where you think?
A man could still say that, I'm trying, but if he's still doing the same thing, he could sit there and say, I am seeking him. I am trying. I do agree with you. Also,
I have the answer for that already before you even get to the question.
He does need, if he is doing the exact same thing and it's been a time period, I would say that would be an evidence that he's not in Christ. If he's doing the exact same thing as when he started his walk 2 years later, I would say that's an evidence of him not being in Christ.
The majority of people aren't even going to be around in Christ for that period of time. They're going to, you're either growing.
Yes.
Or you're going.
Well, the thing is we do have to look at, we don't need to judge ourselves. I think seeking others and being around others that can lead us and tell us. But I think we do need to look at ourselves and say, hey, am I still being stupid with my wife and kids or am I not?
Well, absolutely. Well, those are the things that we need to do on a daily basis. Not just like, hey, I'm going to do my periodic quarterly inventory of myself. And this is how I see myself. And,
I'm 52%
here's my report. Yes, I didn't completely finish a report self, but I should finish it today. But I think I'm really too busy, so I think I need
to put off next quarter.
Yeah, okay. Here's the thing, man. We can't do this thing by ourselves.
Amen.
You cannot do this thing by ourselves.
Amen.
That's the whole point to it is the fact is that I need the Lord. The Lord, if I seek him, he's going to say, I need you to be in fellowship with other men who are doing the same thing, because you need to hear what they have to say, and they need to hear how you're feeling, what's going on with you.
Mm. And keep you accountable.
Amen, because the majority of men are saying, hey, listen, I could do what I need to do whenever I need to do it. The book of Micah, minor prophet, he says in chapter 6, I'll read it out of the NIV here. It says, this is the 84.
Yeah, the good.
Don't go there.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. 6 verse 8, he says, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Amen.
Pretty simple. Micah 6 verse 8.
Amen.
Keep that in mind. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. We got some more things we want to say about this evidence of walking with the Lord.
Amen.
You're listening to Bannon Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
You're busy and the last thing you want to worry about is lawn work. What if someone else took care of that for you? If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list. With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year. Kane's Lawn and Garden can provide as little or as much as you need. Mowing, edging, pruning, fertilizing, weed control, and even general property cleanup. Take advantage of special pricing right now. Request a quote by visiting their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Kane's, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
And it seems like no one in this whole world cares. And you want. Just call my name and I'll be there. You
All right, welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. We're going through a lesson here that none of us really like to have to go through, and that's having to take a look at ourselves and seeing what's going on.
Where,
you know, we are so good at avoiding looking at selves. I mean, seriously, man, I can use everyone else and anything else, okay, because that's more important.
Yeah,
and I am the way I am because of the circumstances.
I just am.
The circumstances, yeah. If I only had different parents, if I only had different brothers,
different
sisters.
Different wife. That was,
a different wife. Yeah, whatever. If, you know, if those were all different, if I had a better job,
more money.
I had better education, you know, if only my parents made me go to school, if they, you know, if only, you know.
If only. But we justify our actions for our sin. That's what it comes down to.
And that's where, you know, the fact is that that's why all of a sudden we look for the pleasure in life to be able to, so that I would feel better rather than as a result of, you know, there's a principle that takes place in responsibility that, you know, with a guy who is given a dollar bill every day, someone gives him a dollar every day, right? And he just spends it on this and that and buys or saves it up for a little bit and buys whatever he wants, okay? And it doesn't mean anything. If he ends up losing something or losing a dollar, it's no big deal. I'll get another dollar tomorrow.
Yeah.
Someone's going to give me a dollar. But if you had to earn that dollar, if you had to put some time and effort into earning that dollar, those dollars are going to mean a little bit more.
Yeah,
you're going to be a little bit more responsible for where you leave the dollar or what you purchase with the dollar. It's going to become has a different meaning.
Mm-hmm.
The dollar hasn't changed; it's the same dollar, but how we acquire that
is
what is really important. So, the point being is that when we end up taking the action of taking a look at ourselves first and foremost and asking God to help us to be able to look at ourselves, to help me to be able to drop my perception of asking help from another man, okay, that maybe understands. Because here's where this
is
where
a lot of humility to do that.
This is where the false thinking comes in, that we think that nobody else would understand because nobody
I'm the only one going through this.
Yeah, nobody else would. They wouldn't understand. Mm-hmm. My circumstances are, somebody else has lost a dog and so on and so forth, but nobody has lost this dog.
I wasn't, you know? They weren't as close as I was.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever it is, we always look for ways of being able to say that no one's going to understand, so there's no need for me to bother or tell anybody else because they're not going to be able to help me. That is a lie from the enemy.
Amen.
The enemy wants us to be separate and away from the crowd, from others
that
who
hurt.
Would be there that would be willing to help and to assist. And sometimes we don't want to have to go through the process of having to deal with whatever it is because it's going to take too long. I'm just going to do this because this will have, you know, it's like a vending machine. I put my dollar in. I want my pop.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Well, Leonard Ravenhill said, and I love this, he said, entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. So if the devil can keep us entertained enough, he can give us false joy in the world so that it numbs what we're feeling, numbs what we're trying not to face, what we're trying not to deal with. So if we're in the middle of fornicating and we're going to try to numb that so we don't have to feel our conscience keep telling us. So we're going to try to find things to give us joy because we know what's going on in our life and we really don't want to face it. I think a lot of us, especially men, when that happens, they seclude themselves from every other man, as you're saying, because they don't want to have to face it. And the thing is if you are in the middle of that, you're eventually going to get convicted enough if you're around those kind of men, and it's going to come out. And a lot of men, they just don't want to face it. They don't want to do what it comes down to is they don't want to have to deal with the pain that's going to come from dealing with the sin that they've been doing. So, but in order to get over that sin, in order to walk with God righteously, we have to go through the pain of dealing with our sin and what has taken place that we have caused.
Right. Well, you know, unfortunately, it requires some action on our part, which means that And that's why I used Micah 6:8 in a sense of kind of springboarding into a sense of saying this is the angle that we need to go at things, because we need to actually be willing to act justly, to do the righteous things. Mm. Okay.
Amen.
All right. And to do it in with love and mercy. Mm. Okay. And more importantly, to walk humbly. Yeah. Okay. With God. And that's something that most men, we don't want to do.
It's hard work.
Well, not just that, but it's somebody's going to take advantage of me. If I'm humble, someone's going to take advantage of me.
I'll have to give him my second cloak.
You know, the fact is that God actually, you know, we got to remember that when we accept the Spirit, you know, when we accept God and just say, okay, Lord, I can't do this. I need you.
And
it's all yours, and I'm willing to allow you to change in me what needs to be changed. Take out of me, prune me, whatever it is, right? Then all of a sudden what ends up taking place is that, like it says in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone.
Amen.
And the
Amen.
New has come. Amen. So as a result of that, that means that, man, when you get something that's old, you finally throw it out, okay? It's no longer working and everything. You throw it out. You throw it in the trash, so it's gone.
Yeah.
You throw it in the hole, or you burn it up or whatever, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It no longer has any effect on you. Mm. You can't use it anymore. You can't do it, whatever it is. Okay.
Yep.
Now you have a new one.
Amen.
It's a new, something that is totally new. And it's going to smell new. It's going to seem new. It's going to seem awkward at first. I don't know quite how to do it. But the more that you use it, the more that it, and when you go to the manufacturer, say, okay, you've given me this new life. How do I do this?
How do I use this new life? Yeah.
You know, go to the manufacturer.
Amen.
You know, the one who created you. He will show you. He will guide you. He will give you. He will put people in your life to help you. So that you know that you're not alone.
I think that is the greatest evidences of being in Christ is that old saying that you hate what you used to love and you love what you used to hate. Eventually, that uncomfortableness of all of a sudden you start you have this uneasy feeling of seeing a woman on TV, and so you look away, but then you're worrying about what other people are going to think. Well, eventually, you may have to fight that fleshly urge, but eventually you're going to take, I don't like using the word pride, but you're going to feel good about looking away in the presence of others, because you're going to want to honor God with everything that you do. You're going to have a desire to please Him no matter what is taking place. You're not going to have a desire to want to go and do those old things that you used to love. And that is when we completely turn it over to Him, when we do get around other men to encourage us. Because when you start walking with Christ, when you get to the point where you give everything up, okay, the devil's going to attack you stronger and stronger at that time, okay? Because the devil doesn't have to worry about attacking his. He has those, okay? He is going to be attacking very hard those he is losing, okay? So in that process, we need to have other brothers around us to encourage us, because a walk is hard. That's why it's called fighting the good fight, because it's not exactly a cakewalk when you're with Christ. In fact, life gets harder. That's why all of them but one were put to death, and Christ was too. And even now today in this world, people are being put to death for it. So the walk is going to get harder when you choose to walk with God and to put away the things of the flesh, which is in the Galatians 5, what we just read. When you decide to put those away and you ask God to give you the grace to do it, He will give you the grace to do it. And then those things that are uncomfortable, you're going to learn to love.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the cool thing about it is that His Word is truth. And His Word, when we get to know it and we understand it and to the best of our ability, and we get others that come alongside that say, yes, this is, I believe this, all of a sudden you realize that God can actually do through you the things that you thought were impossible for you to do.
Mm.
Okay?
Amen.
Like these things, there's no way I could ever make amends or say I'm sorry to my wife for the things the way that I created her. No, you will be able to. And yes, God probably wants you to go through and make that amends, because it is important. You need to get that out of the way. She needs to know that you are heartfelt and willing to say, you know what, forgive me for what I have done. and how I have done it. And the fact is, there are people in our lives. These are challenges for us to have to go through and to have to deal with and to do, because they're difficult.
Amen.
It requires me to get out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, it requires me to die to self. You know, and you know, for when Jesus told us, all of us, through his word, he says, hey, love me above all things with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love others as you love yourself.
Amen.
We often question, what do you mean, like myself? Well, think about it. You've always taken care of you, haven't you?
You feed yourself.
You've given yourself everything that is necessary. You do whatever is necessary. So now we do whatever is necessary to please God.
Amen.
And for others, because that's exactly what it comes down to. Amen. So it's about getting ourselves out of the way, and that's a difficult thing to do. So we just encourage you to just continue or begin seeking God through his word. In the book of Micah, he talks about walking humbly with our God.
Amen.
You cannot go wrong with that at all.
Amen.
So how about you pray for our brothers today?
All right. Father, thank you for giving us breath and life today. Thank you for those in our life who are around us, who are encouraging us and supporting us. Lord, I ask that you bless those out there who are concerned about their salvation, Father God, that you would give them confidence, Lord, that you would do a good work in them, Lord, that you would finish the good work of which you started, Father. So please bless their souls, their hearts, and their minds. Give them grace upon grace to be obedient and to walk in love before you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.